The Jen, Gabe, and Chewy podcast is sponsored by Celsius Energy Drink, and I am here to tell you it makes a huge difference in my mornings. With a unique blend of essential energy and key vitamins, Celsius is your partner to an active lifestyle. My favorite, the peach vibe. Learn more at Celsius.com and pick up Celsius Energy Drinks today.
Showtime. The right way to start your day. This is Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
There's something about the way you talk so plainly is of your generation only.
Did you get your new plates?
Oh, yeah, I got my new plates. But they mixed them up. Somebody got mine and I got their vanity plates.
Just, I love your ass is such an absurd thing to say to somebody.
What do they say?
Ass man.
Ass man?
Yeah, ass man, Jerry. I'm Cosmo Kramer, the ass man.
I think if I said that to Mussolini, she'd be like, what? What are you talking about?
Yeah, you don't know. I was talking to the dog.
Who would order a license plate that says ass man?
Maybe they're Will Chamberlain's.
It doesn't have to be someone who gets a lot of women. It could be just some guy with a big ass.
Yeah, or it could be a proctologist.
This is Jen, Gabe, and Chewy, broadcasting live from the Gruber Law Office's One Call That's All studios at The Avenue with Gabe Neitzel and Mark Chamora. Here's Jen Latta.
Running around, she wants to ride it. She's trying to hide it. I'm cool as ever. She's too excited. Her man look like he want to ride. He ain't doing nothing but running his mouth.
Old school getting a lot of love. A lot of love on the Carbless Talking Text Line. Chewy, you have to watch Old School. You're my boy, Blue. That from Todd in the 608. Again, I mentioned not watching the show until he watches Old School. Ryan weighing in, also endorsing Old School. A lot of Old School fans out there in the loyal listener crew. Just checking the old YouTube stream as well. There are people campaigning for The Wedding Crasher. But then there's somebody who says that Elf is an overrated movie of Will Ferrell's.
Oh, so.
Hard to the hole.
It's run its course.
It's run its course? What does that even mean?
You can't just be out here saying stuff.
That's what he does every day.
I was going to say, technically, we let him do that from 7 to 9, Monday through Friday.
What do you mean Elf has run its course? It's a Christmas movie.
I tried watching it this year. It's just like, nah, it's good. I'm good. They need to make another good Christmas movie, which no one has made, and probably since Elf.
Here's the thing. You need to, if you're going to say it's run its course, you need to find me a replacement. Until you do that, I'm not hearing it.
That's the problem.
What would the qualifications be? Christmas movie?
Funny.
Adult dressing up as an elf? what are we talking about?
Oh, just any Christmas movie that can replace
it? Oh, wait, hold on. I saw a good Christmas movie. The Red One. Red One? With The Rock.
Wait, that was good?
It was so good.
That almost ended Dwayne's career.
It was so bad. It was so good. We watched it with the kids. They loved it. Very entertaining. So if you're looking for a new Christmas movie to add to the old collection.
Skeptical.
Well, just watch it and see.
I mean, you should have gone to see it in the theaters. Then I could believe that it was an actual good movie. Instead, they pulled it halfway through the first showing because nobody was watching.
I don't watch anything in the theater now, guys, okay? I figure that it's only like 3 or 4 weeks before I can watch it sitting on the comfort of my couch.
I think that, again, it was available, I think, on Amazon before they finished the first showing because that's how poorly it did in the theater.
We watched Wicked several times this past weekend from our living room. If you're interested in catching Wicked, you can see it from your house. Okay, we have a couple of conflicting things out there. We want to get to this Michelle Smallman sound as we go here in the second hour of the show. But I also want to talk to you guys about the highest paid quarterbacks. There was a list compiled yesterday about the highest paid quarterbacks in the league. And of course, we know who they are. Dak Prescott, Jordan Love, Trevor Lawrence, Joe Burrow, Tua Tagovailoa, Jared Goff, Justin Herbert, Lamar Jackson, Jalen Hurts, Kyler Murray. The interesting thing about that list of the top 10 paid quarterbacks in the league is that half of them are in the playoffs and half of them are not. And coincidentally, Jordan Love is the only guy in the top 5 of the highest paid quarterbacks whose team is actually in the postseason. Dak is not, Trevor is not, Joe Burrow is not, famously. We all watched as that went down this season. And Tua is not. Does this bother you, Chu? Does it bother you that the players who are making the most money at the quarterback position are, at least on this list, not getting their teams to the postseason?
Well, I mean, I go to Jordan Love. It doesn't really bother me because those other players don't play for my team. Jordan Love's got to be better. Where's he on the list, by the way, as far as highest paid?
T2. with Trevor and Joe Burrow.
Yeah, you got to be better, man. I mean, you cannot mention Jordan Love with Patrick Mahomes, Josh Allen, Lamar Jackson. Jalen Hurts is better than him. Jared Goff has been better than him. I mean, when Sam Darnold's outplaying you, it can't happen. I mean, the money represents how good you're supposed to be, right? And they're not driving right now. Okay, they're not driving. And I don't want to hear he's a second-year starter and all this stuff. He's a fifth-year player, okay? And I don't want to pat myself on the back, but I didn't start
till
my fourth year. I didn't start till my fourth year. You know what I was my fourth year? Pro Bowl player, okay? I didn't play hardly. I didn't play at all my rookie year. Played sparingly my second year. Was hurt a little bit my third year and then came on. And then probably had the best year of my career.
If you had to guess,
goes as you go, and you're not going good enough. I think we coddle him too much.
Okay, good enough is interesting. I want to sit on some of these things that you're saying before we move on. Good enough is interesting. But if you look at the QBR in the NFL, Jordan Love is top five in the league, Chew. And QBR is, of course, that statistic that takes everything into account, right? It's not just your completion percentage. It's the pressure of certain situations. Some of them are weighed more heavily than others, depending on, you know, the situation that your team is in. Jordan Love is fifth behind Lamar Jackson, Josh Allen, Joe Burrow, and Jaden Daniels. That, to me, feels good enough. I know there have been moments where we have been like, what are you doing there, J-Love? Throwing it into the dirt, missing receivers. But he suffered from a lot of drops by his wide receivers, by his pass catchers this year. And yes, there were times where he needed to do more. But it's not going to be perfect. He's not going to throw a perfect completion percentage. He's not going to have perfect completion percentage for a game. So there's a part of me that goes, what are we expecting from him? Do you expect him to be comparable, Gabe, to what he got paid? Should Dak Prescott, as the highest paid quarterback, have the number one QBR, and Jordan Love, as the second highest quarterback, have the number two QBR? Or can we say that top five in QBR is, to use Chewy's phrase, good enough?
But that just doesn't feel right, does it? Does that feel right to you? Going, oh, I mean, Jordan Love, he had the fifth best season in the NFL
this year.
And if I look at that stat, that's where I'm having problem. Like, is Jordan Love a top five quarterback?
Because
that's
what that's trying to tell me. Right? And I just said it. There are times where I was like, what the hell? Like, that was a bad decision. Or what the hell? He threw it into the dirt. Or what the hell? That was not the play. Some of it is play calling, right? Some of it is people criticizing Matt LaFleur saying he's not calling the right plays at the right time. And then, of course, it goes back to the age-old argument of how much was Aaron Rodgers audibling at the line and putting them in better positions to succeed.
You're doing what Packer fans do. You're not holding their players accountable. You know, it's the same. What's QB index? Tell me what QB index is. Because he's 10th. Is that equivalent to QBR?
I don't know.
Because I can tell you this.
Me too. Same.
QB index?
Whose stat is that? Because that's the thing. Like, my problem always with QBR is I don't know how it's calculated. I know all those things go into it, Jen, but it's just like such a protected formula that nobody actually knows what it goes in. So I have a problem with QBR because it's also trying to tell me that Brock Purdy and Kyler Murray were better than Jalen Hurts this year. And I just I've watched those teams play, and I just don't find that to be true. And that's where I'm having problem going, okay, yes, Jordan is getting paid top dollar. His QBR is fifth. But that doesn't jive with, to me, how he played this year. He does need to be better. When the money really kicks in, and this year Jordan Love's cap number was nowhere near that $55 million. He's nowhere near the top 10 in terms of cap hits. But once those cap hits start going up, you don't have the money to spend elsewhere. So you've got to start raising the play of people around you. Because look at what Josh Allen has done this year in Buffalo. He raised the play of everybody despite everything that they lost. That's still a team that ends up being the number two seed in the AFC, and they haven't lost a beat despite losing what they did and having these young players around. Jordan's got to get to that point where, yeah, maybe the stats don't add up. But when you watch that, you go, yeah, this guy's in control. This guy's raising the level of everybody around him. And instead, he's throwing balls this past week where Luke Musgrave has to go sliding down instead of being on target, getting him on the run, and having him create what was a big play to an even bigger play.
I agree with everything that you are saying. I agree that QBR and the eye test don't seem to click, don't seem to mesh. The problem is, these guys, when they get their incentives, they're based on a lot of these stats. They're based on a lot of how you shake out either a number, you have to hit a certain number, or sometimes it is where you rank amongst your peers. And I'm not saying that I know the ins and outs of Jordan Love's incentives or the, you know, what his contract is specifically. I'm just saying that, like, at some point, you have to look at where they shake out amongst the other guys in the league and go, well, I mean, fifth in QBR?
But his passer rating is 12th, and that feels better. That feels more accurate to me.
I agree. But QBR, again, so is the conversation we are having right now basically coming down to our issue with QBR not matching what we're seeing on Sundays?
Yeah, that's the thing, because I don't know how to measure QBR, so I don't know what they're actually measuring, and that's my issue with it. Because now I'm looking going, hey, I watched the games. That Jordan Love, top five quarterback, doesn't seem right to me. And because nobody knows how QBR is calculated, I can easily go, okay, that one doesn't make sense. I don't think I can really use that as a measure.
That doesn't make you hesitate and go, maybe my eyes or my judgments have been harsher than maybe deserved. Because it makes me think twice when I look at it and go, it doesn't feel like this, but maybe what I've been seeing has been not fair. And the things he's doing well, we aren't focusing on enough because we are stuck on the things he's not doing as well. That's where I'm at with it. Like, I think it's probably somewhere in the middle of where that all is. If we were to be honest, it's probably closer to 7.
So do you think Jordan Love was a top 5 quarterback this year?
I would have a hard time saying it, but other people telling me it and people like whose evaluations I trust.
Yeah, because they make excuses for him. It's like, well, they run the ball 50-50. Well, you know why they run the ball 50-50? Because it's not Patrick Mahomes back there. And I expect not Patrick Mahomes, but I expect closer to Patrick Mahomes.
Why can't it be, though, about the success and the production of the running back? Do we think that Philly runs the ball more than they pass it because Jalen Hurts has deficiencies? Or do we think Saquon Barkley's really bleeping good?
A little bit of both. A little bit of both. I'm with Gabe, right? And there's always, he doesn't have good enough receivers and stuff like that. Well, you got to make them better. Remember how we always talked about Aaron Rodgers? Oh, early in it or in the middle of his career, he makes them better. He makes them better. Can you say that for Jordan?
No, and look, I'm okay with him not being there quite yet because he's still growing.
He's had one 300-yard passing game.
Yeah, and look, I don't think Jordan's been good enough. I think he can still get there. And Chewy, I know you don't like to hear it, but he's still a growing player. Like, he's not a completed product. Like, I think he can still continue to grow, and I would love to see what would happen if the Packers actually do get him a number one receiver. How much that would help him, how much that would help this offense. So that's just something I want to see, because as much as Ted Thompson and Goody and all that were criticized, there really wasn't a time, unless somebody was injured like 2015, where Aaron Rodgers didn't have a number one guy. A guy who was capable of being a Pro Bowler and an All-Pro.
Sometimes the best guy in the NFL
at different times with Jordy. So I would love to have somebody like that for Jordan to help him continue to grow. He's a second year, he's a fifth year player, second year starting. He's still growing. I don't think anybody can dispute that he's still, there's room to grow within his game. But he has to start doing that, because that money is going to be kicking in, though.
And as much as we didn't want to hear about it, Chew, we all talk about the sophomore regression. We all talk about how guys take a step back after that first year. Didn't we kind of know that going in?
I don't look at it like that. He's not a sophomore. He is not a sophomore. My fifth year, I wasn't a sophomore. I'm not a sophomore. That's not how players look at it. Players look at production to money, and they sit around and go, can you believe they're paying this guy this much money? Players do that. It's real. Players evaluate other players. If I was in that locker room, I'm like, jeez, crow. Talk about stealing. Rashawn Gary, stealing. Kenny Clark, stealing. That's what players do in locker room. They talk about everyone talks about this. It's life. Players aren't any different, you know? Well, why did we stink this year? Well, the pain can flipping carry 25 million, 6 sacks. Maybe I should play D-end. That's what they do, and that's how they evaluate. The money represents how good you should play. And if you're getting paid as an A player and you're playing like a B player, that's why they don't win.
Look, I'm not saying it doesn't happen, Chu, because I trust you having been in the locker room, but I will say that it's a flawed mindset. I will say that if you are doing that and you don't recognize the value, the importance, the significance of a quarterback on a football team, and you don't understand why the league pays them astronomically more than almost every other position,
yeah.
Well, what are we doing, man?
We don't look at it like that. I'm just telling you. This is how players work. And they said it about me. They said it about me my eighth year. Like when I hurt my neck. Like, geez, stealing. That is a common term used in the locker room. Stealing. David Bakhtiari, stealing. Jair Alexander, stealing. That's what players in the locker room, when they're out and about having a cold one over someone's house, that's life.
But do
people
you
do
think,
that when they go to church?
Do you think they're
people
saying
when
that
they do
about
that when
Jordan
they go
Love?
To church?
I hope you're
do
not stealing you from think, the church.
But do you think they are saying that about Jordan Love?
Some players are. But I mean that it's 80 people in a locker room. You don't all get along. It's 80 different personalities. You know, it's life. We're not any different than anybody else. You know, people go to church and say, see that one dressed like a hoo-ha at church? That's except, you know. It's what people do. Why would the locker room be any different? Players measure other players by how much money they make and match it to their stats. That's just reality. And I've been on the backside of it. I've been stealing. I've heard it. Yeah, stealing this week. It's just a common term.
All right. I can tell you that we have touched a nerve. We have touched a nerve with a lot of the loyal listeners. There are a million comments rolling in on the YouTube stream and on the Carbless talk and text line. I will try to get to some of those as we roll on here on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. But first, Potawatomi Sportsbook is upping its game in a major move for all sports bettors out there. Now you can use your Potawatomi rewards card at most self-service kiosks and at the betting counter. Bet on your favorite sports and earn reward play along the way. Now that is a winning play. Bet above the rest. Learn more at paysbig.com/sportsbook.
This is Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
There's two things she counts in the house. One of the pictures. Yeah. What do you think the other one is?
Firearms.
Viagra.
On 94.5 ESPN.
Right, let's dive in here, shall we? Wolfman weighing in saying, I think Love was lectured about turnovers and now he's unsure. This game, I think Matt LaFleur says, go out there and wing it. That coming from Wolfman. The dude weighing in saying, I don't think Love has regressed. I feel if Watson was completely healthy all year long, we win a few more games. The team is just so different with him out there, and the other guys cannot get open. Jeff says, Love's number one problem is his accuracy, which is probably not going to improve. Going back to college, he is just not that accurate. And then we were talking, obviously, about QBR and the eye test. Kevin weighing in saying, Love isn't passing the eye test this year. There isn't one Green Bay fan who would trade his play from second half of last year for what we've seen this year, regardless of what the QBR or analytics tell us. He isn't winning us games or making the wow plays like we would expect from a top five quarterback. But the team is good, right? I think what we need to stop doing is pushing it through the prism of where they finished in the division and where they are in the playoff seeding and recognize that this is a team that won double-digit games, albeit against lesser opponents, yes, they played well. And Chewy, I believe you said that they were a good team. They weren't a great team,
yeah.
Right? So yes. What would they need to do? What would Jordan need to do to get this team to great?
Pray.
Okay. Enough with the Our Fathers and Hail Marys this morning,
it's been a very religious
show. Are you talking
show.
This year?
Chewy stealing from the collection plate at church?
No,
we're saying
I mean going
prayers.
Forward. I'm not saying what can he do this week. I'm just saying going forward, what would you like to see from him to elevate him to great, where you would say, one, he is a top five quarterback in the league, and two, he justifies his salary?
Consistency, more wow plays. You know, I look at, obviously, the top quarterbacks. Mahomes, Allen, Lamar Jackson. I don't know if I'd put Jalen Hurts there yet, but just take the top three, Jim. Mahomes, Allen, Jackson. Based upon what I've seen from him, I would bet that he'll never get there. Do you? You think he'll be as good as Lamar?
I mean, Lamar has the potential to be a three-time MVP, so I have a hard time saying he's going to do something that only, like, five guys in NFL history have ever done. So,
I mean, Mahomes is a stretch, right, Gabe?
Yeah, I mean, Mahomes is the best of this generation. But I think you need... I think, yes, all those things that you said, Chewy, are correct. I think he needs to probably be a little bit better in those intermediate areas, because the one thing we criticized Jordan for last year was the deep ball. Okay, can he throw... And he was pretty good at that, taking the tops off of defenses off the play action. I think he was top five in, you know, completions over 20 yards this year. So he obviously worked on that. So the next step is those more intermediate routes. And I think Tom Brady pointed it out against Minnesota. Those routes just don't exist right now for the Green Bay Packers. I think he needs to elevate into that top five status. Because, yeah, is Josh Allen as good as Patrick Mahomes? Probably not. Lamar as good as Mahomes? No. But you think those teams have a chance when they go up against Kansas City? Like, once you have that top five quarterback, even if your guy's not number one, you feel like you've got a chance against anybody. And if you were ranking the quarterbacks right now in the NFL playoffs, I know Chris Canty did this on a Sportsman like this morning, where do you think Jordan Love falls? Probably not in the top five. And I think he can get there. He's just not there yet.
See, and with that, Gabe, if he's not going to be one of those three guys, then obviously... he needs more talent on offense, right?
Yep.
But you can't use the one term like Aaron Rodgers' receivers were great because he made them better, and it can't, you know, you have to apply the same logic to Jordan Love. Is he making those guys better, or are those guys not good enough? You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
It's like you can't talk out of both sides of your mouth, right?
Yeah, I wonder...
Because if he was Aaron Rodgers... You would think, based upon past experience, he would maybe make these guys not great, but much better than they are.
And here's where I wonder if there was a flaw in their thinking in terms of that wide receiver room. Oh, all these receivers are going to grow together. Chewy, you've talked about how veterans like Ed West helped you out, and you learned some tricks of the trade for them. I mean, some, granted, were, you know, not great teammates like Jackie Harris, but you learned from Keith. You learned from Ed West. You learned from those veterans. And the way that they did it, basically the entire era, back half of Brett's era into the Aaron Rodgers era, they were always backfilling the position. So, you know, guys like Jordy could learn from Donald Driver. You know, Randall Cobb could learn from Jordy Nelson. Dante Adams could learn from those guys. And you were backfilling so you could learn some of those tricks of the trade, and maybe not having a veteran around has stunted the growth of some of these guys because they haven't been able to learn some of those tricks of the trade that you can only learn from other veteran players.
No, I would agree. And, you know, I wanted to ask you guys this earlier. I'm like, when was, outside of Hackett, who turned out to be terrible, right? Who was the last LaFleur disciple to interview for a head coaching job? Because we say how great this coaching staff is. Well, if they're great, why aren't some of them at least getting interviewed for jobs? Right? I mean, you talk about Holmgren and his disciples, and you talk about McCarthy, and you talk about Andy Reid and all these guys. Has there been another? Who's the last one that interviewed for a head coaching job?
I think it's just different when you look at the McCarthy era, too. I don't know how many of those guys would have gotten interviews because they weren't the play caller. Like, it's so hard to get a head coach interview unless you're the play caller on offense in 2024.
By the way, I've seen a lot of people over the last 24 hours, 48 hours, who have wondered, it's not necessarily a criticism, but who have wondered if Matt LaFleur should give up play calling duties. There's been a lot of criticism about Matt LaFleur's play calling, calling the right plays at the right times. And there are people who are saying maybe it's passed him by.
I mean, Adam Stanovich was mentioned in the most recent articles about who could be some candidates. I haven't seen his name be brought up since then, but I believe it was Peter Schrager that put it out, and I don't think he's just making up names out of thin air. I believe that's names from the league. It's hard with, like Gabe said, Matt LaFleur is like the end-all, be-all of the offense. no one else is really calling plays. That's why they do the thing in the preseason where they let those guys call plays, because they're trying to get them additional experience. Sean McVay let Matt LaFleur's brother call plays in Week 18. Like, to some extent, those guys go off, and it's kind of like, well, what are you actually doing here? How much are you in control of the offense? I can't get over people.
I mean, that was the criticism of Eric Bieniemy for how long when he wasn't getting head coaching opportunities because he wasn't calling the plays in Kansas City with Andy Reid.
Yeah, but I know you got to go back. Hold on, you got to go back a ways, Gabe. Andy Reid became the head coach, never called plays
of
Philadelphia.
Yeah.
Mike McCarthy, he didn't call plays, and it was the Ray Rhodes year where he got an interview with Cleveland.
Yeah.
Which a lot of us were surprised
at. But that's what I'm saying, Chu. I just don't think in 2025, I don't know how many of those guys are getting interviews, because that seems to be like the prerequisite right now. If you are going to be a head coach who's an offensive guy, it almost seems like, oh, you have to be the play caller for your team in order to get the interview even. Or even to get, I mean, maybe you won't get, maybe you get the interview, but if you're not the play caller, you're probably not getting the job.
I wonder if there's going to be any changes this year, because you can certainly say the receiver group they're not better than they were the previous year, right?
I would agree. I think Christian Watson's the only one who grew, because there were some catches this year that he made that I thought he was not capable of making the previous two.
He grew, but he had 29 catches.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
He had 29 catches.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's tough to levy with. I would agree.
But we knew that was going to likely be a byproduct of having so many wide receivers, right? Having so many guys who were capable that we thought, again, months ago, of being the quote-unquote number one, of being the bell cow in each game. Oh, you know, they're going to rotate snaps, they're going to rotate catches and all of that stuff. Like, you kind of knew that the numbers were going to be down across the board because one guy wasn't going to be focused on in this offense.
But nobody emerged. Nobody took those opportunities and ran with it.
Yeah, no one emerged. Like, Jaden Reed seemed to regress
as the season went along.
And is that about other teams recognizing his deficiencies and then kind of removing him from the game plan?
Possibly.
Or is that they're just not good enough? Yeah, they got five of the guys that are that exact same, but is it a failed experiment? Do you need a Jefferson and an Addison or a Monsaint Brown or Jameson Williams? Do you have to have that in order to be elite? Because like I said, Jen, they are a good team. They're good. But you know what? Good teams don't win the Super Bowl. Great teams win the Super Bowl.
I think we can dismiss out of hand how the Packers thought not having a number one guy all offseason was an advantage. That doesn't exist. Yep. Not reality. Not how offenses work in 2025 now. It's just not. You have to have a guy who's reliable to an extent. Now, that was going to be Romeo Doubs. Then Romeo Doubs decided to stay home from practice because he wasn't getting enough targets. That would then move to Jaden Reed, and then Jaden Reed declined. Dontavian Wicks was supposed to emerge. He led the league in drop rate for much of the season.
But he's a really good blocker.
He is, and he's played well. He's played well, and he's still one of the higher guys in getting open, but no one... And then you figure in Tucker Kraft. What are you doing with him? Josh Jacobs, when he catches the ball, he seems to make an advantage.
And you didn't even mention Christian Watson.
Right. There's a lot of mouths to feed, but you need one guy.
When you take a look at all the Super Bowl contenders this year, like the teams that are at the top in the AFC, NFC, I think the only one that doesn't have like a truly number one target guy they want to get involved most is Buffalo.
Kansas City?
They still have Kelsey.
Buffalo?
They still have Kelsey. They still want to feed Travis Kelsey.
And KC would have that with Rashee Rice had he not gotten injured.
Yeah.
He was getting like 12 targets a game.
And I want to be clear as we wrap up this segment, guys. We do think the Packers are good. Because I'm listening to us talking, I'm like, man, you would have thought that this team had 6 wins and 11 losses. Not the inverse. But again, the standard is the standard. And the standard is that Green Bay is expected to not only win the division, but make deep runs in playoffs. They have not been able to meet that standard for what seems like a very long time, Gabe. And that's where the questions come in. That's where the scrutiny comes from. I've got people on the talk and text line. Jared weighing in on the Carbless talk and text line. Is it possible we have Packers goggles on? Are our expectations so high compared to other fan bases that people act like Love is Mitch Trubisky?
No, I mean, Love is really good. And I think he can continue to grow. But this is the second straight year you're now the seventh seed. And yes, you I think this team did grow because they've got more wins than they did a year ago, getting to that double-digit win. They wrapped up a playoff berth a couple of weeks in advance versus being in a win-and-in situation in Week 18 than they were a year ago. But the fact of the matter is, there are other teams that passed you by because everybody else had double-digit wins too, and you're still that seventh seed. So now the question becomes, okay, how do you grow even more so you can get on the level of some of these other teams? Because if we're being honest with each other, they're not on the level of Minnesota, of Detroit, of Philadelphia. They're just not there right now.
And whether or not the stats tell you that some of the players are, we trust our eyes.
Mm-hmm.
We trust the eye test. And you can argue even in those situations, wins and losses. But I think it is, we know that Jordan Love or believe that Jordan Love and Matt LaFleur et al. Can get to that higher level, but they have underperformed.
But it starts with this game this weekend. It starts with this game because in order to beat Philadelphia, they're going to have to start doing some of these things that we were just talking about in order to win this game and advance beyond the wild card.
Chew, last word, go.
Basically, all I want is for them to win on Sunday, for it to warm up down here in Florida, and for people to apologize to me and Gabe for being called Debbie Downers. That's all I want.
Wouldn't the win negate people?
I said the last word.
Fair?
I think it's fair.
Would it, Gabe,
it's
fair?
Very fair. Bunzel's Meat Market at 90th and Burleigh in Milwaukee. Stop by Bunzel's this week. Always have great weekly specials. You can pick up the stuffed pork tenderloin, $7.99 a pound. Marinated bone-in pork chops, $6.99 a pound. Bone-in pork shoulder roasts, $3.89 a pound. And for dessert, homemade chocolate chunk cookies, $8.99 a dozen. Look, of course, you're going to go to Bunzel's Meat Market and check out the amazing deli counter that they have. Maybe grab some lunch. Of course, go back to the main counter and get all these great specials. But low-key, like their desserts, their homemade desserts, real underrated, really good. I can't recommend those enough. While at Bunzel's, check out that daily lunch or dinner specials in the deli. Bunzel's, 90th and Burleigh. Check out Bunzel's.com for their January meat deal and more.
This is Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
But she doesn't know. Every now and then, I got the blammer coming up, and like, I'll let you use my tractor for two of the blue things, which I think is a pretty good deal, which gets me in trouble.
You got a Viagra ring?
On 94.5 ESPN.
Yesterday, it was Evan Cohen taking shots at our guy, Evan Cohen from Unsportsmanlike on ESPN Radio. You can hear them before us, 6 a.m. right here on 94.5 ESPN Milwaukee, taking shots at Gabe for, I guess, quote unquote, interrupting, stepping on his co-host, which again happens all the time in radio. It was a very weird thing for Evan to go at you about, but we got your back. We had your back. Today on Sportsmanlike, also making Milwaukee news, as Michelle Smallman, famed, well-known, new-ish Packers fan, made what some might call an egregious statement about who she would root for in the playoffs if the Packers don't make a deep run. Take a listen.
Michelle, you're a sports fraud and it needs to be called out. People of Milwaukee, listen here. Michelle Smallman told us yesterday after the show.
Are we not doing this at 8:15?
We are, but we're doing it now, too.
Okay.
Follow his lead.
People of Milwaukee, Michelle Smallman said that if the Packers don't win the Super Bowl, she's going to root for the Lions because it's a good story or something. You cannot root for a division rival just because you like their story. It's completely ridiculous. It's unacceptable, frankly.
Unacceptable. Okay. I think more people will agree with me than disagree with me on this. How do you not love the Detroit Lions?
Because you're a Packers fan.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's pretty straightforward.
I'm rooting for the Lions.
You're also not a Packers fan.
No, that's a lie. But I'm rooting for the Lions for different reasons. Because I know once you win it, your approach the following year is different. I don't want them to lose because then next year they're still hungry and they're not going to have the injuries next year and their roster is still going to be better than the Packers. So they need every edge they can get when it comes to competing for a Super Bowl next year. That's why I'd want the Lions to win.
You're making the wrong bet. The bet is both Johnson and Glenn end up leaving and they're not as good anymore trying to fill those gaps. They lose in the playoffs.
Yep.
don't win a Super Bowl. Those guys are gone. Look, they got to retool.
I mean, I can't believe I'm here, but Pat Costello's right, guys. Like, Pat Costello's right. You can't be rooting for a divisional rival. Like, if you want to root for a good story, you want to root for somebody that, you know, go root for the Buffalo Bills. They're in the other conference. Root for the Bills if you need a rooting interest in the postseason. If the Packers get eliminated, you're not rooting for the Vikings. You're not rooting for the Lions. Because guess what? As much as I don't want to admit it, the Vikings are also a good story. Like, so if the Lions get knocked out, then we're going to be rooting for the Vikings? No, I am not going to break down into that chaos. We are not doing this. You do not root for division rivals. That's just how it goes in football. This is these are the rules. I did not create them.
I was just going to ask that, Huey. Thank you. I was just going to ask that.
What if you're in college?
For your conference?
I've never understood the people in the SEC who do that. I've never understood.
No, I'm talking Big Ten. Don't you want, Ohio State versus Penn State?
No.
You're
telling me people from Michigan are rooting for Ohio State?
Well, no, that's the one exception to the rule. No. But the point is that you can claim conference superiority.
Which doesn't make sense.
No, you just throw it in people's face to make a point. You don't actually root for them in the moment.
Oh, it's faux rooting.
Yeah, of course. You just use
it's
as...
performative.
Yes.
Duh.
Again.
Why don't you just clip that so you don't have to do it every time? I already told you yesterday was the best delivery you've ever had.
I don't know.
But you try to top it today.
I would never I kind of enjoy the live does.
I would never root for Ohio State. Never going to happen.
You're angry elves. You guys are, like, weird.
You're just not a fan.
Like, my kids all went to the Classic Eight. I want the Classic Eight to win the Super Bowl or whatever, the state championship.
High school state
in every single division. Yes, that's pride. Are you kidding me?
No,
I get it in the pros, but I'm with you, Jen, in college. Yes, I want Ohio State versus Penn State.
If you're a Big Ten fan, because then you can say that you
but
have the best
But you're not a Big Ten fan. You're a fan of Wisconsin, who's in the Big Ten. You're not a Big Ten fan. How much gear do you got that says Big Ten on it? You showing up to the game wearing your Big Ten hat? No, you show up to the game wearing your Wisconsin hat. You're
Rob
not,
Lowe?
Yeah, we're not Rob Lowe here, hoping that both teams have a good time.
I'm not rooting for the NFC North. What is it? Good things happen to them means bad things happen to me.
You think I wanted UConn to win the national championship this last year because it gave the Big East superiority? No, it gave UConn on your superiority. Man, jack squat for me feeling bad that Marquette got knocked out in the Sweet 16.
Okay, but hold on. Because again, on the surface, I disagree wholly with Michelle Smallman. But I also exist in the storytelling space. And I love a good story. And she's right about the fact that the Lions are a good story.
Yeah.
She's right about that.
Yep.
Probably one of the best stories in the NFL this year.
Then you got it. Then you got an option.
My Rolodex very quickly.
You got an option. You can be a storyteller or you can be a fan of the situation. She decided to be a fan of the Green Bay Packers. Guess what that means? You're not rooting for that good story. Again, the Bills are a good story. They're over on the other side. If you want to root for Lamar as he tries to get to his first Super Bowl, go ahead and do that over in the AFC. Got no problem with that. I can admit that the Lions are a good story. Guess what? Don't care. Don't want them to win the Super Bowl.
If I were to power rank the three best games of my lifetime, it's the two Super Bowls the Packers won and when Brett Favre threw the interception in the NFC Championship. There's no game I was more elated by an outcome than that game.
I had a friend jump into my arms after Favre threw that interception in celebration.
Yes, it's just as fun to root against your rivals as it is to root for your own team.
We do have some folks who agree with Michelle Smallman on the Carbless Talk and Text line. Heba Doobie? I don't know what that is, but I'm guessing it's something funny. Lions aren't a rival. They've stunk for 70 years. I'm also rooting for them.
But they are a rival.
But they are a rival.
And they're better than the Packers.
They've taken it to you the last few years.
If you ask Matt LaFleur, I think he would say that Dan Campbell's squad is a rival. I think Matt LaFleur has no love lost for what the Lions got going on over there. Made him feel pretty silly over the last few seasons. Alan weighing in saying, Gabe is right. All you others are wrong. I'm pretty sure we all agree with Gabe.
Nope.
Yeah, you're fence riding over there. Middleman Jen.
Yeah.
Middlewoman Jen.
Oh, great job, Joshy. Hey, way to correct and pivot.
And speaking
there.
Of riding the fence, we're not exactly sure what you are. Chewy, what is that chuckle?
They're just angry elves.
Hold on.
They are.
Hold on, I want to see if I can do it.
You just got to find a way to get lower if you can. I know it's tough. Yeah, you're too high.
Also,
and it's going to be tough because you're laughing, and now you're on the verge of crying. It's going to be really tough to get as low as you need to.
Gabe, you're a liar because what? If whoever's in P-Vegas's yeah. conference, you would be ecstatic. Oh. If that team won the Division III National Championship.
I'm glad you brought up Peeville, number one team in the country, by the way, men's basketball team. Shout out to Jeff Gard and Platteville.
Thank you.
So, no, I openly root against UW-Whitewater. I hate them.
That you're a hate.
I yeah, hate you're, wow, you're UW-Whitewater.
I have no idea.
No, they think they're better than everybody.
Well, they are. They are.
You don't have to act like
just accept it.
You don't have to act like it. You don't have to be a jet. Like, I honestly have people, like, when as a student, like, going to those games, covering those games, doing them for student radio, I had people be jackwagons to me only at Whitewater because they all think they're superior to everyone.
Okay, but
so bleep them.
Glass houses over here. Don't you think that's how a lot of people feel about Packers fans? Don't you think that's how a lot of people
yes.
in the NFC North, fans of other franchises, have felt about Packers fans for the last 2+ decades?
We're very hospitable.
They think
we're
they're better.
We're going to give you a prod. We're going to give you, you know, we're giving you a beer. We're not going to be mean to you.
And up until the last 2 years, an ass kicking as well. Yeah.
I mean, again, the ass kicking goes with the beer and the broad.
Joe weighing in on the YouTube stream saying the Lions are like the little brother who is finally good at something. You kind of want to root for him, but you also don't want him to be too good.
Didn't we learn from this when a bunch of people rooted for the Cubs and then they won a World Series and everyone was like, well, that kind of sucks. Now we don't like rooting for them anymore. That was a mistake. We can't root for the Lions. Also, the Lions and their fans have been the least gracious in becoming good. Like,
oh,
Amon
yeah.
Ross St. Brown, his history is not good. We talked about it for pretty much an entire show. We don't like them. We don't like anything they're doing.
He's walking around. Like, here's the thing that Michelle needs to realize.
Green Bay sucks.
What? Amon Ross St. Brown walking around in a shirt that says Green Bay sucks. You can't root for that. As a Packers fan, you cannot root for that.
Jerry in Canton says we'll never root for any other team in the division ever. If it's not Green Bay, then it's no one else from the North. Okay, let's take that one step further. Can it be someone else from the NFC? Are we drawing the line at division opponents and saying if there's somebody else in the conference who you like, Chewy, maybe Tampa Bay, I don't know, you like the upstart Baker Mayfields out there, the fighting Baker Mayfields, or if you want to root for another team, does it have to be on the other side of the aisle? Does it have to be an AFC squad?
I would listen to arguments for other divisions. I would prefer it be from the other conference. If you need a rooting interest in order to stay interested in the postseason, again, you're going to have to make a very strong and compelling argument for another NFC team, because I would argue the biggest rivals that you had, Chewy, when you guys were playing were the Cowboys and Niners.
Yeah.
Other division, right? So, like, you can still have big-time rivalries with teams from other divisions, so I would prefer somebody from the AFC.
For me, it's two teams I want to lose. Kansas City, because I'm sick of them.
Even though that's your
I
guy?
I don't want them to go 3 in a row. Yeah, enough. Yeah, share the wealth. And then Minnesota. I cannot. No. I hated Minnesota when I played.
And the Cowboys, right? I thought for sure the Cowboys
were
going
to be. Well, but the Cowboys aren't in the playoffs.
Yeah, but they're not in it.
Oh, I see what you're saying. I thought we were talking about going forward across the board. You're saying in the playoff field, those are the two teams that you cannot root for. So everybody else is fair game?
Yeah, I mean, I still love San Francisco, even though 8 million of them hate me. Jeez.
Feels like that number feels low. Based on the vitriol we got last year, that number feels low.
Okay. I still love them.
Well, they don't love you, so it's not reciprocal.
Well, it's a love-hate.
Yep, definitely. Definitely.
They make good wine. They make really good
that's
wine.
That's the only reason.
Whether you're a local who wants to enjoy a night out or you're planning to visit Milwaukee, enjoy an artfully stylish experience at St. Kate the Arts Hotel. It is ideally located in the heart of the theater district in downtown Milwaukee with deluxe accommodations, culinary creativity, on-site art galleries, and nightly live music. You'll enjoy every element of your stay at St. Kate. Learn more and book your stay at stkatearts.com. That's stkatearts.com. Hold on, Joshy. Better, Gabe? Thanks.
This is Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
Did you know that fact, though?
No, I didn't.
You didn't know that fact? Is that just a fact, Brig?
Yeah. I mean, that's what Chewy does. Chewy knows the most facts of anyone on the show.
He also knows the most fiction.
On 94.5 ESPN.
Here we go. So put your best face
on, everybody pretend you know. Guess we ran a little long this morning. Guess that's to be expected. A little craziness going on. Will Packers GM Brian Gutekunst add a wide receiver or a cornerback by today's 3 p.m. CT deadline? 59% of people saying no, it is not worth it. 41% of people saying yes, they should for depth. Mike saying Kalen King or a practice squad receiver, either Hicks or Johnson, will get called up, but that's it. That is all. Don't expect anything else. We will be back tomorrow morning, but Wildy and Tosh is next, continuing the conversation right here on 94.5 ESPN Milwaukee.